Chapter 81. Jesse saw the light bars flashing a block away, and the sirens were deafeningly loud. It wouldn't be long now until Sarkassian would have no place to go. Jesse wasn't certain about the man's weapon, but it didn't seem to have an extended magazine, and he'd used a lot of ammo already. If he could only get Sarkassian to waste a few more bullets. But just as he was feeling confident, a yellow Camaro convertible backed out of a spot near the corner of the lot Jesse had worked so hard to herd Sarkassian into. Jesse understood Arakel Sarkassian was many things, but he didn't think stupid was one of them. It hadn't escaped his notice that Jesse almost had him penned in. He ran toward the Camaro and jumped in just as the driver, a woman in blue nurse's scrubs, stopped to put the car into drive. Sarkassian pressed the muzzle of the gun to her neck. But instead of freezing, the woman screamed and flailed at him. He slapped her across the face with the side of the gun and pressed it once again to her throat. "Shut up and do as I say, or I shall surely blow a hole through your throat!" The nurse quieted just as the patrol cars stopped at the parking lot gate, their sirens finally silenced.
"Sarkassian," Jesse said, "you can't get out of here." "Oh, but I will, one way or the other, Chief Stone. The question is, who I will take with me. That is in your hands. Now drop your weapon and order your people away from the exit."
"Take me," Jesse said, dropping his 9mm.
"Let the nurse go and take me. I'll toss my cell. My people won't shoot while I'm in the car."
"Do not take me for a fool, Chief. Go to the gate and order your people away, now!"
For emphasis, Sarkassian yanked down the nurse's hair and put the barrel of his weapon in her mouth. Jesse didn't bother trying to retrieve his gun and walked to the parking lot gate. Gabe Weathers and John Spellman met Jesse there. Before Jesse could speak, Gabe said, "Two hitmen killed Brandy Lawton. Suit got one of them."
"Dead?"
"Dead. The other got away. He was driving a white van. Word is out."
"Hurry, Chief," Sarkassian said. "I'm not certain the nurse will live much longer."
"Deploy your spike strips on either side of the exit. We can't afford him seeing them as the car pulls out. When the spikes are out, move your cars away." Jesse went back into the lot and walked toward the Camaro, hands raised above his head. As Jesse got within 10 feet of the Camaro and the cruisers pulled away from the parking lot gate, Sarkassian removed the gun from the nurse's mouth.
"That is sufficiently close, Chief Stone. Be assured, no harm will befall this woman as long as you try nothing foolish. Now step away, please."
When Jesse had walked back 10 paces, Sarkassian turned to the nurse and said,
"Drive, quickly."
She put the car into drive, the tires squealing when she stepped down hard on the gas. The black and yellow barrier arm smashed against the windshield as the car barreled through the exit. Turning left out of the lot, there were 4 barely distinct pop-pop-pop-pops as spikes dug into the tires. The Camaro slowed, but skidded because of the speed and the severe angle of the turn. Sarkassian was thrown against the door. By the time the Camaro came to a stop and Sarkassian had reoriented himself, Gabe Weathers had his 9mm pointed at his head. Officer Spellman had already gotten the nurse out of the vehicle. Sarkassian dropped his weapon. He wept as he was laid face down, frisked and cuffed. At the station, Jesse and D.A. Malman sat across from Arakel Sarkassian. The digital video camera was pointed at the prisoner. A yellow legal pad was on the table in front of him, a pen atop the pad. For the time being, the camera was switched off. None of them said a word, but for this once, Jesse wasn't willing to let silence be his weapon of choice.
"I have Brandy Lawton in a holding cell, Sarkassian," Jesse lied.
"D.A. Malman is in a deal-offering mood today."
"Isn't that right, Mr. D.A.?"
"It must be the warm weather, but yes."
Jesse said, "You are the bigger fish, Mr. Sarkassian, so you get first crack. But if you don't supply us with a full confession,
and accounting of the mechanics of your operation, we'll march from here into Brandy's cell. And given the fact that she is willing to say just about anything for a Vicodin, she may not be able to give us much, but she can sure as hell give us you. Sarcassian laughed.
You need not threaten me, Chief Stone. A man can only drown himself once. I believe I have already accomplished that feat. You may turn on your camera.
Jesse hesitated. First, the name and location of the men in the white van.
Gladly, Sarcassian smiled. Sending them away will almost make my sins worth it.
After gleefully giving up Stoyan and Georgi, Sarcassian explained as much of the network as he could. He explained how they used area doctors and the pill mills to find candidates like Brandy to use for their purposes. He explained how addicts like Brandy were eager volunteers and were willing to do anything to keep their drugs coming.
She would find someone like Chris or this Petra, seduce them, and we would exploit their weakness for Brandy to distribute our products. Foolishly, I had let Brandy introduce me to Chris. I helped arrange for him to sell the goods he received in trade with precious pawn. I should never have done such things. It was inexperience on my behalf. And then I came to very much like the boy.
Sarcassian's voice faded away. He remembered what he had witnessed Stoyan and Georgi do to Chris, and how they had turned him into a murderer. When he spoke again, any hint of gleefulness was gone from his voice.